Welcome in to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. My name is Angelo Carriero, and you are listening to my show. No name, just me. Hope you all are enjoying this Sunday morning, and a little more, I'm sure, after Kentucky's throttling of South Carolina last night. And I'll tell you what, I don't know why. I have my guesses. I really don't like South Carolina. I don't know why. It's not like there's some deep rivalry like a Tennessee or a Louisville, but when South Carolina's not doing well, it just kind of makes me feel better. And I know that's a horrible person thing to say, but you know what? That's what sports are for. So I loved to see the result last night. The season finally comes to an end after a very tumultuous journey. And we'll talk a little bit more about the game. I also have coming up here, I want to talk a little bit about high school football because the KHSAA playoffs are starting to wind down. We got state semis all across the classes from 1A to 6A. And when I mean wind down, I'm in the number of teams, but it is getting hot and heavy when it comes to the competition. We've got three Lexington schools, three, that are in the state semifinals. Lexington Christian in 2A, Frederick Douglass in 5A, and yes, Paul Lawrence Dunbar in 6A. So we'll talk a little bit about high school football. I'll give my NFL picks for the day. I might try to fit some UK basketball in. I might find something else to kind of fit in there. I haven't really got to talk much about the NBA, free agency, the John Wall trade. I think that one thing that's really gone under talked about, and I think it's because of where they're at respectively in their careers, but John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins teaming up in Houston is a really big deal, and at least from a Kentucky fan and entertainment experience. And yeah, I understand. Let's see it in 2017, not now. I get it. Okay? I get it. But there's no reason to think that these guys coming back from their injuries, as long as they've been sitting, that there isn't the possibility that they are 80%, 90% of what they used to be. I doubt DeMarcus Cousins will ever be back to 100%. John Wall, wait and see. Wait and see. Medicine's gotten really good when it comes to repairing these athletes. I remember when, you know, back when torn ACLs were, I mean, that was the max injury. You tear your ACL, and I remember you're out for a year. Donovan McNabb tore his ACL, all that. And now you got guys like Adrian Peterson back in 2012, which is, man, it's like almost 9 years ago. And I think when he got hurt, it was 9 years ago. But Adrian Peterson tore his ACL, came back and ran for 2,000 yards. So that's just how it is now. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. Already got a call on the air. Let's get him up. Caller, you're on the line. What's your name?
Hey, it's Johnny.
Hey, Johnny. How's it going, brother?
Going great. I don't understand why South Carolina even made the trip up to Lexington.
I don't think they did, by the way they played yesterday.
You're only dressing 46 players. Just call and say, hey, we don't have enough, we're sick, we're whatever, we'll stay home. That was ridiculous.
I didn't even know you were allowed to take only 46 scholarship players up there. I thought there was like a rule against that.
Absolutely. I mean, that was just it was kind of sad to see, but nonetheless, Kentucky got another win. Thought it was a disappointing season. I think they just really got exposed this year without any cupcakes on the schedule. Three or four gimme wins, and then you beat two other SEC schools, and you go to the Music City Bowl.
Well, Johnny, let me push back a little bit on you, bud. I will say that 4-6 in the SEC with an all-SEC slate for Kentucky is about on par with kind of how they finished. There's been a lot of 3-5, 4-4 finishes here. So 4-6, it's not necessarily like it was some grand disappointment. I just thought that with some of the injuries on the defense, and especially with Terry's just really collapsing, not being able to throw until last night, really, and against Vanderbilt, some weaker competition, that it's just his struggles more than anything. But
yeah, I agree. Do you think there'll be many changes on the coaching staff? I know last week there was a lot of rumors about Eddie Grand being let go.
I think that Eddie Grand has been underrated for how he's built this running game, and Coach Schlarman had a lot to do with that, rest in peace, with the way that he built the offensive line. I do think that there are going to be changes on the offensive side of the ball, coaching wise. I do expect it to be grand, nothing reported, just what the feeling around the program, obviously, all the fan base and whatnot, and how that's going, even though I guess we thought that was going to happen for a couple of years and he always finds a way to come back. But I would expect there to be some type of change, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I really enjoy your show, and we appreciate it.
I appreciate you, sir. Call back anytime. Thank you. Got another caller that's on the line here, and you can give me a call at 381-1313, 381-1313 to talk about anything under the sports sun. Caller, you're on the line. What's your name?
This is Sean.
Sean. All right, what are you gonna do to me today? Are you gonna come kill Stoops again for me or what?
Boogie and Wall in Houston.
Yes.
Do you remember the Outsiders Hall of Nash on WCW Nitro? I know you're too young to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay, well, they showed up like in the mid 2000s, like 2005, later on TNA Impact.
Uh huh.
And it just didn't get over at all.
That's Boogie
and John Wall.
I can't disagree with you. I can't. I'm hopeful. You know, I'm hopeful. It's kind of that, almost like just like the Outsiders on TNA, it's just one of those nostalgia pops that I'm hoping for. But you know by game 20 that it's just all that's going to be rubbed off and no one's going to want to watch
it. Oh, yeah. No, that's gone. So, do you think Terry plays in the bowl game if they take it?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. Is there a reason why he wouldn't? Just curious.
You know what I've thought of like this could be about the future.
He has
a kid. He may play somewhere else next year. I don't know why I'm only basing this on because that's why he played the whole game last night. That's the only reason I'm getting that.
Oh, I think that I understand that. I actually think Terry played really well last night. I did.
Oh yeah, but I think he may even play somewhere else. You know what I mean? I think he may play football, just not here.
Oh, okay. I can see that. Sean, I am after the way Terry played last night and just what he's meant to the program and all the yada yada yadas about it, I definitely could see him playing the entire bowl game and giving him that one more time. But you're right. I really would. There is a very, very large part of me that just wants Bo to have an entire game under his belt before going into next season.
Who's the starting quarterback next year?
Bo.
Okay. So, I mean, what do you do with Gatewood?
What do you do with Gatewood? I mean, it just depends if he wants to stay or not. I'll tell you what, he's a young man. I want him to do what's best for him, of course, first and foremost. But I don't want there to be that pressure of put Gatewood in, because you know how UK fans can be. I don't want him to leave if he doesn't want to, but if he wants another opportunity to start somewhere, I think it would be probably best elsewhere, in my opinion.
Wow, that kid would be on the move again, you know what?
Yeah, that's what,
he'd be on his third school.
Yeah, that would, I mean, it's weird that he hasn't really been able to get his footing, and I think he's talented. I just think he needs to go somewhere where he can grow into the job. Like, actually start from day one, no question, because he didn't get that at Auburn, and he didn't get that here.
No, not for sure. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Bengals won't have a chance today, and that's all I got.
Well, I'm sorry, I'll tell you what, Sean. I've never been a Bengals fan, but you all deserve so much better than letting Joe Burrow get killed like that. And I know everybody saw it coming, but the number one on my list, Sean, and tell me if there's any others you remember of like team malpractice, but when Dan Snyder made Robert Griffin III go out on that playoff game at home on a torn ACL and Robert Griffin looked like a slaughtered lamb out there, that was the biggest, like, that's not right moment that I can remember.
This is
number two.
I can't beat that. can't beat that, man.
Golly, I couldn't. It ruined his career. I was like, just so disgusting. And this Burrow thing is second. The kid almost got his leg amputated, like essentially, not at post injury. I'm just saying, like with that injury, I mean, it completely dislocated his, you know, knee from his leg. And it's just that he deserved better than that. Your fans deserved better than that. And I can't stand it for you. And I'm sorry.
Well, hey, we've strangely gotten used to it, but I do hate it for him, though. All the same, doesn't change that.
Yeah.
Well, bye, my man. You have a good day.
Call back anytime, man. Thank you. And you can give me a call at 381-1313, 381-1313. I'm going to step aside here for a second. When I come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Kentucky football. We're going to talk about high school football. We'll talk about the NFL. It's really a football packed show today. We got the UK Game Day pregame show coming on at 4 o'clock today. So keep in tune for that. And you'll definitely get your basketball fill. And there's plenty I want to talk about the basketball program. okay? And I might hit on it a little bit, but let's stop with the constant overreaction to everything. The way that that fans and media treated the football team after the loss to Florida and the basketball team after the collapse against Kansas. Stop. Come on. I know it's bad. It's not that you can't be upset about it, but let's not rush to it's the worst case scenario every time. Just let it breathe. Give it time. With both teams, you know, the football team, look at how much adversity they faced. Let them go this year. We shouldn't even had a season. Yet we did. Let it go. And then basketball, how many games are left? You've got the non-conference schedule, then you've got conference schedule, then you've got the SEC tournament, then you got the NCAA tournament. It's a long time before you can strive for that 9, okay? Just give it time. Just be patient. All right, I'll be back in just a second here on Angelo. I am Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Welcome back in. Angelo Carriero here on this. It's kind of a gloomy Sunday morning, but I'm having a good morning. I really am, because you got UK football coming out with the victory, 4-6 on the year, possibly a bowl game. We'll see if they accept whatever invitation they get. We've got a UK basketball game today. We've got the NFL today, which, look, I'm going to be honest, and I know that this is call in and see if you agree with me on this, and it's the last Sunday game that Kentucky has for the foreseeable future. But as much as I love Kentucky basketball, Sundays are for the NFL. That's it. Sundays from 1 to 11. My son, and I mean, like, look, it makes me a horrible person, and, like, I claim to spend time with my family, but, like, usually it's just me and my papaw watching football in the living room for almost 10 hours. That's pretty much it. I should be, you know, going and doing stuff with my little sister or helping my mother and grandmother, you know, cook or something like that. I'm a horrible person. I just sit and watch football, okay? But now, I mean, you know, woe is me, you know, have to work on a Sunday like everybody else. But I do miss having that slot, so I have to go home, and I don't have Red Zone at my house, and I've got to watch I have to go back to watching like Fox or CBS, and I miss it. I am a millennial through and through when it comes to how I consume the NFL. I watch Red Zone because I like to be able to watch all the teams. Every now and again, I'll just watch the Packers or I'll just watch the Bengals, but fewer and far between. If I can catch every game, that's the way I prefer to consume my football watching is through Red Zone. I think that's more common now. I mean, I never thought my grandfather would be the type to watch Red Zone. I think deep down he'd just like to watch one game, but I'm just so into Red Zone. He's just like, I guess, you know, we're watching Red Zone today or whatever. So give me a call, 381-1313. That's 381-1313. We could talk about anything under the sports sun. If you want to talk about Kentucky football, though, in this season, this is kind of the time I'd like to do it with you, because I do not harbor resentment against the team for this season. I think coming into the year when you looked at the roster, I thought defensively, this was the deepest roster Kentucky has had that I've ever seen. Even without Chris Oates, who I just hope makes a full recovery someday, you know, not even talking about the football side of it. But even though he couldn't play this year due to his health, I thought that at essentially all three levels, and especially in the front seven, there was more depth defensively than I've ever seen here. And I think it really bore out, because the one thing that I saw last night in that South Carolina game, Josh Pascal is not only the best player on the team, he's a future first-round NFL draft pick. And I truly think that. And I'm big on the NFL draft, and I understand I'm too close to it with Kentucky football, but I have never seen, well, it's been a long time. I think the player I might compare him to is a guy like Chris Long back in Virginia, because he played in a 3-4 defensive end, and he ended up being a very, very high draft pick. I believe he was the number 2 overall pick in 2008. But Josh Pascal, for a guy who is an edge rusher, because he just is an edge rusher, the way he bends the edge, how physical he is, his quick twitch, his speed, he's able to get to the quarterback. And I still remember a play, and I'll get to it in a second, with Josh. I think that his willingness to understand about how valuable he is at that outside position, how he had to fight skin cancer last year, to come back and be asked to play defensive end in a 3-4 scheme. If you look at the other defensive end for Kentucky this year, it was 330-pound Phil Hoskins. That's who was the other defensive end in Coach Stoops' defensive front. We only have 3 down linemen. You had Hoskins, you had Bohanna, you had Pascal. You have 330 with Hoskins on one defensive end, and you go to a very polite 280 with Josh Pascal, and even a little more. That kid, to play head up on a 315-pound, usually 6'6", just highly recruited kid every single week, Josh Pascal dominates his matchups at a size he shouldn't. He is stronger. He is more physical. He is grittier. He is better than every single player he lines up against week in and week out. And it's a shame that he got injured in the middle of the season, because he's a level of football player at the university level that he can win you a game. I think the world of him, obviously. I remember a play earlier this year. I think it was against Georgia, but I probably have that wrong. But it doesn't matter really who it was against. It was the play itself. He lined up head on an offensive tackle where they're face mask to face mask. And these tackles are bigger and longer in the arms than Josh Pascal is. Pascal was able to literally rip around the offensive tackle, and as the quarterback was throwing it, get his hand on the back of the quarterback. And to be able to run the edge like that from a head-up stance on an offensive tackle, that's rare. And I hope that he comes back for a senior year, selfishly. Maybe he'll get some more notoriety and get into the ears and minds of NFL scouts and GMs and drafters. But if he left after this year, he had every to go to the NFL draft, he has every right to. He is that good. And just wanted to say that from what I saw, Josh Pascal is dominant. He's a beast. He is the best. If I had to give an award for the best player on the team this year, it's Josh Pascal. I think Jamin Davis is up there in the running. I think that, let's see, Chris Rodriguez, I think, would be offensive MVP, unless you want to count one of the linemen. I actually think the one guy that really went under-talked about is how good Darian Kennard was this year. And I know that he got a lot of publicity last year and coming into this year. I just feel like he's been under-talked about. I watch that guy, and every time I'm like, I wonder how Darian Kennard's doing. He is just dominating. I think if he got drafted to a team like Baltimore, Kennard, where he can play power run 60 to 65% of the time, that guy's going to be a future starter in the pros for a long time. I think he's really good, and he's really big. Of course, senior night last night. Apparently, I got this from Jason Markham and A Sea of Blue, that Devontae Robinson, and I didn't notice, but he was not celebrating seniors night, that he's probably going to come back for a 6-year, since this year is it's like an untimed down. There is no penalty in your class. If you're a true freshman this year, you're a true freshman next year. If you're a senior this year, you're a senior next year. It's all up to you. You decide what you want to do. And some players and people decide they want to move on. And then some, if Devontae wants to come back, you know what? I'm 100% for it. I love seeing city kids play for the University of Kentucky. We got Devontae. You had Landon Young. We've got Dekel Crowdis and Jagger Burton coming in. Got a lot of being able to keep these Lexington kids. And by and how good Stoops and this staff has done. When Stoops first came here, and I remember my papa and I would talk about it, and I'd be really – we both would be frustrated that Stoops wouldn't recruit Kentucky. He would not recruit Kentucky. He recruited Ohio. He would recruit a little bit in the north, you know, a little bit in Pennsylvania, a little bit in Michigan. You know, he'd go to the south a little bit, but he really wouldn't recruit Kentucky. It both frustrated us a lot. And me, just from a personal place, I want to support the kids here. But he has dominated Kentucky recruiting the last couple years. I'd say about at least the last two, go back three, and then the crown just stick it to Louisville, going in and pulling J.J. Weaver and Jared Casey out of Louisville to come here was just, I mean, and Isaiah Cummings too. But those two guys, when he pulled those two defensive studs out of Louisville and said thanks to the city, see you later, and came and brought him back here, I mean, that's when I knew, that's when I just went, man. Oh, man. He's Coach Stoops. Look, everybody's on Coach Stoops' case. I think that win kind of subsides it. It's not like – I feel like for Kentucky fans, winning last night wasn't a step in the right direction. It was ice on a bruised eye. You know, it's like, thanks, but I still have got a blackened eye. I just don't think you can look at this year and look at the roster and, like, in a regular year, this is a 7-5 team. And just with the 10-3 year and then putting Lynn at quarterback and winning all the games that he did, I'm just not upset about it. I'm not upset about this year. I think it's the way that I expected it to go. And I think Kentucky was often competitive in every game. No matter what you could say, no one tuned out of this season. Last night was the one game where I thought people just weren't interested anymore. But I think I was wrong. I think a lot of people were. Again, give us a call, 381-1313, 381-1313. Give us a call. I guess there's just more people in my living in my head than I imagine. Give me a call here at 381-1313. I'm going to step aside for just a second. Anything that you want to talk about with the Kentucky football season in review, feel free to call in. I might hit on it a little bit more. I might kind of get a scatterbrain here in a second, talk a little bit about high school football, maybe the college football playoff, getting into a little bit of that. But I'm going to come back down to my final segment, and I'll give you my NFL picks for the week. But if you want to call in now. This is the last segment coming up that you can talk to me this morning. But I've appreciated all the calls so far, and I hope that, hope you keep calling. Thank you. This is Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this. Immaculate
conception. 16-year-old.
They took it to 10.
I got cold.
Welcome back in. Angelo Carriero here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Give me a call, 381-1313, last segment to come in and give me a call here. And I've already got one caller up on the line right now. I'm bringing in Adam. Adam, how are you doing, brother?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right, buddy. What do you want to talk about this morning?
So earlier I was hearing you say, "Oh, the sky is not falling yet," and you know, like everybody needs to calm down.
I did. I did say that.
So I kind of feel like this is how it's going to go all season long. I think there's going to be like just like kind of inexplicable losses, and not just with Kentucky, but across the country. Particularly if you've got like a young team, it doesn't matter how much talent you have necessarily. Like if you've got veteran players, particularly in the backcourt, you've always got a puncher's chance.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, do you remember, Adam, real quick, do you remember last year was like a record year for number ones getting beat? Like number one team in the country getting beat?
Yeah.
It's becoming almost Duke, just more
number
common.
One seed. Yeah. Well, there's more parity. I mean, like, it's just, you know, like, the players
exactly
are so much better.
And you know what, Adam? I said this. I forgot if it was with you and the boys or if I've said this elsewhere, but the Houston Rockets, Golden State Warriors style of NBA play trickled down into college basketball, and I think it truly leveled the playing field. Because these mid-majors that are really good are usually just with these 6'6 to 6'8 kids that can shoot three-pointers at, like, yeah, all 40-plus percent, and they rebound really well, and they're all juniors and seniors by the time they're really good. And I feel like that with those schools down there doing that kind of work, and I wonder when it's going to start trickling up to the Power 5 Division 1 level, because I can argue that, you know, that's what's going to hurt Cal and Kentucky going forward is the game's just moving away. As good as these, you know, BJ Bostons and Terrence Clarks and those kids are, it's just moving away from, you know, winning at the college basketball level like that, and you win with 40-plus three-point percent shooters.
Yeah, I mean, the last two seasons, it seems like this year is going to be another one that shapes up to be where Calipari, like the three-point shot, is just not going to be as big a factor as it is, you know, like on average across the country. I think like last year, if I remember correctly, like they shot only like about half the national average for 3 points attempted in games.
they don't usually chuck up a bunch of threes here under Cal.
No. So I mean, it's been for more pronounced last couple of seasons, but. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it's, I'm not too worried about the team. Like, I kind of felt like, you know, from the jump, like, this is one of those teams that feels special. Like, for Cal.
It does feel special. I completely agree, and I don't know what it is, but it does.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it reminds me of, like, you know, some of those first teams that they had where, you know, they had these great recruiting classes, but it was more than that. Like, they seemed to kind of fit together. Like, when you see these guys play, you can kind of see, like, oh, okay, well, like, you know, like, you can see how they're complimentary. But, I mean, like, you know, we have, gosh, I mean, like, Keon Brooks is really the only returning player that
who
we have.
Who hasn't played
we've
yet.
Got, like, a, yeah, exactly. I mean, we have a whole new roster. So, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time for them to, you know, get used to playing. There was no exhibition. There was no, you know, warm-up games, nothing. So, I mean, I think you're just going to see this across the country. Like, I think you're just going to see on any given night, you're just going to see, like, crazy scores, you know, like where like Oakland is going to, you know, beat, you know, like Duke or something like that.
Didn't Virginia get taken down by like San Francisco?
Yeah.
Just crazy stuff like that?
Yeah. And San Francisco and Richmond both, like they both had really solid veteran leadership out of the backcourt. I mean, like, it's just, I think, you know, like you're just going to see like a lot of teams that just have a puncher's chance, like I said. It's going to be interesting, though, to see, you know, kind of how this team, it looks by the end of the season, like, you know, by the end of the season, because I feel like this team is going to look way, way different. And once they click and figure it out, man.
You know who they kind of remind me of, at least from the offset? Well, how we both are saying this team feels special. And I don't know if either of us can really put our finger on it. This kind of reminds me. And the way the start, the feelings about it, the team's 1-2, ESPN has Georgia Tech favored. It reminds me of that 13-14 team with like Julius Randle and the Harrison twins as freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of that team where once this team figures it out, even if it's tournament time, the ceiling on it is like national champion. Just like that team.
Oh,
was.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, like, we've got all the pieces. I mean, like, especially, like, I think Olivier Saar is going to be a once he kind of figures out how to gel and fit within the team.
You mean once he figures out how to stay on the floor in a first half?
Well, yeah. Well,
golly. I mean, the kid's good, but, like, you're foul. They attack him, even though he's, like, a decent post defender, because they're like, oh, yeah, he'll get two fouls in the first 8 minutes, and then we don't have to see him the rest of the half. That's why we need Keon back.
Yeah, definitely, because you need somebody to kind of help him down low. They're going to have to figure out a way to keep him from getting those early fouls, but I think, too, once he kind of figures out, like, you know, I almost feel like he's being too polite. You know, like, he doesn't want to just come in and just kind of, you know, like, he's taking a lot
that
of
that classic
mid-range
French
dumpers.
Politeness.
Yeah, yeah. They're known for. I feel like, you know, like, once it clicks, I feel like he's going to be the one that they are able to lean on early. To, like, once, you know, until, like, the freshmen start hitting
getting their groove.
But, I mean, you know, I think everybody needs to remember, too, like, these kids have been on campus at Wildcat Lodge sequestered for months now.
Basically in their own
little bubble.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that, I mean, it takes its toll. I mean, you know, like when you're just kind of, you know, like, you know, on your own and like, you're just, you know, kind of like, you know, like you don't really see a whole lot of people. Like, I mean, you know, you kind of get in a rut really easy. You know, I think they just kind of shake the cobwebs off and just, you know, get used to going out there and, you know, really going at it 100% on the court. And, but I mean, I think there's a lot to be excited about this team. And I don't think I haven't seen anything yet that, you know, has changed my opinion of that.
I agree completely. And the one person that that Lodge did not hurt, if anything, it helped, and it was Isaiah Jackson. And this is just a rib at our buddy, at our mutual friend Chad, because I said he was the best player on the team, and Chad just lit into me. And then Isaiah Jackson almost posted a triple-double with blocks. So you know what I mean? I guess, like, maybe I know what I'm talking about, but maybe I don't. Like, Chad, okay? Like, remember who thought Emmanuel Quickley was going to be a first-round pick? It was me. I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Poor Chad, man. Like
No, go ahead. Yeah, Chad's just you know, he never brings opinions to the table. He just brings stats, and then he can never be wrong.
Yeah, and he brings receipts.
He never brings the receipts of when you're right, though. Only when you're wrong.
Yeah, no.
Adam, before you go, convince me of Gonzaga, and for the audience. Convince us of Gonzaga, because I know you're the world's biggest Gonzaga fan for some reason outside of Kentucky.
I don't know about that.
And here's the thing.
Stockton might have something to say about that.
Here's the thing. I thought, and for the tournament every year since I've gotten the job here at WLXG, I do, when I say extensive, like, game matchups, I really put effort into taking each individual game. I even look up, like, Coppin State's, like, you know, national statistic against Duke. Even though Duke's going to clobber them, I still do it just to get the most accurate representation. And I got to tell you, Adam, I thought that Rui Hachimura, Brandon Clark, Gonzaga team, I was like, there's no way that this team's going to get beat. And who did they lose to? Texas Tech? I think it was that
year.
I
can't remember. It might have been.
But that level of disappointment on where all the stats lined up that this is the single best college basketball team in the country. They had seniors and juniors and all these. They had NBA talent. I was like, they have the perfect mix, and they let me down like Gonzaga lets everybody down every year. Why is this Gonzaga team different, Adam?
Okay, well, like, let me just go ahead and start off by saying this might be the best Gonzaga team Mark Few has ever had at Gonzaga. I'm saying something, considering the talent they've had come through.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, like, especially when you consider, like, some of these guys that are going to develop, and, you know, they've got so many guys that this might not be their year to shine, but, you know, the next couple of seasons, you're going to see a lot of these guys develop and become really good pros. And I'm serious, like, this might be the best Gonzaga team, the most talented Gonzaga team he's ever had there.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I know that I like that point guard. I like that point guard that they have a lot. Where has Gonzaga been phony in the past that you don't see with this team? That's all I'm going to ask you before I let you go. Just why were they phony before, and why are they not now?
They have so much more depth, and there's so much competition for spots and just, you know, minutes in the rotation. And, you know, before, like, they would have talent, you know, but they're almost kind of trying to, you know, patch up holes here and there, trying to hide guys, you know, in the starting lineup on the bench or something like that. But this team, like, they go legit two deep at every position, and in some cases three deep. And the guy, I mean, like, everybody is talented. I mean, like, their starting five is ridiculous. And they are tall. They are so long.
All right. I made a mistake. I wanted to talk about Gonzaga, and then I was like, this is Gonzaga. I wanted to get people primed for, like, who are you going to bet on for the tournament? But you know what? I'm just listening to you, and I'm like, that's every Gonzaga team. They always let me down. Adam, I appreciate the call. You can call back any morning, buddy, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, man. See ya. I just wanted to thank Adam. I want to thank the callers this morning. Of course, I appreciate you, Johnny, Sean, Adam. And make sure that anybody out there, y'all can call in anytime. This show is as much about you as it is me, and I appreciate everybody that listens. Before I step aside to give my NFL picks, I do want to talk about high school football. And I kind of really hit on everything that I wanted to. I'm actually a little proud of that. But varsity game night and what possibly is our last game, there are some things in the works that may end up being a difference maker to where we can continue the season. But I will let the audience know on Twitter at Angelo Media Lex about that. I think the big upset to a lot of people in the city this year was Bryan Station losing to Dunbar on Friday night, and we were at the game, and it was, if that's the last game varsity game night does this year, it was poetic. It was climatic, and it was just the definition of what high school football is. It could have been a play, like a Shakespearean play. Like that's the way it feels out there when you're going through the highs and the lows of being able to follow these kids. You call the coach, you get to know them, you get to know the players, you get to know who these teams are, you know, kind of, you know, pretty well. And watching that matchup, I said before the game, I said this game's going to be a lot closer than people realize. But in the second quarter, McCaleb Coffey going down with a leg injury for the game just was the difference maker. He's such a talented kid, and it just sucks to see him go out like that because he came over from Scott County where he was their only wide receiver. He was obviously a spectacular athlete, but that kid, his quarterback talents have just, for Bryan, for even Bryan Station having to take that long to figure out that he was the guy, it's a little surprising, but it's a shame that we didn't get to see him play quarterback more because athletically, arm strength, smarts, he had everything at the position that you would want. And when he went down with that injury, and it's not even clear on how it happened. We're watching away from the ball. He threw a swing pass over to the running back, and maybe he landed wrong. Maybe he got hit as he was landing, and the transfer of weight got messed up. It's just, I really feel bad for him. But as bad as I feel for him, you know, I guess the elation of the victory, of winning the game for Dunbar. I'm sorry, I thought I might have gotten a report. Let's see. I'm looking at it right now. Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Okay, I thought I had gotten a report. I'm going to keep it to myself right now because I need it to be confirmed. Big things might be happening in Big Blue Nation. Anyways, I just wanted to get to how special it is for Dunbar because I feel bad for Bryan Station. We covered Bryan Station the most. Bryan Station had, I mean, from McCaleb Coffey to Joey Bond to Trayvon Jenkins to Carl Mumford to Tylan Israel to the big boys up front, like Joshua Rowe and Brendan Ferguson, those kids, Giovanni Watson. You had Amadeus Taylor, Damon Green. That Bryan Station team is returning almost every single one of those guys. Coffey won't be there next year, and Giovanni will not be as well. Everybody else is coming back. That Bryan Station team, if they can figure out the quarterback position, is going to be SPECIAL. I hope I spelled that right. Do not call me if I was wrong. I will burn the tape if that's the case. No. But I do believe that Bryan Station's going to come back next year and be in the contention for a state title. And I know that's tough with these Louisville teams because of how strong they are. I mean, we've got Trinity, St. X, Male, and Dunbar there. But I'd be remiss if I did not talk about Dunbar. Because Wes Johnson has come over there from Jessamine County, and he has done something to that program I wasn't sure could get done. He has taken that team with a senior quarterback, played to a senior quarterback strengths. He trusted Kamarion Robinson when I think that a lot of coaches would have pulled him for his fumbling issues, but he trusted him because of his talent level. He had Frank Iunga, Mason Haislett. He had Wes Holloman, which we shared a pretty funny conversation about Wes on the phone, but I won't repeat it on air. But we had not gotten to see Howard Jackson for Dunbar up until Friday night. He had been hurt. And the reason why I'm telling you all this is because he's a name over the next couple weeks to keep your ears on. Because Howard Jackson was the best athlete on the field full of future college athletes. Like Damon Green's playing college ball. McCaleb Coffey's playing college ball. A Trayvon Jenkins is playing college ball. Those guys are all playing college ball. Iunga probably is. Robinson probably is somewhere. Mason's probably playing somewhere. Howard Jackson was the definitive, no bones about it, best athlete. I talked to Coach Johnson on the phone, and he told me about it, and I said, Coach, come on. Like, you have some great athletes. Howard Jackson's the best of them. I'll trust you. Howard Jackson did nothing but catch three balls in that game. Those three catches went for 156 yards and three touchdowns. He had his Randy Moss game. That famous picture of Randy Moss on Thanksgiving, it was 3-163-3. Yeah, Howard Jackson had 3-156-3. He mossed two dudes on the way to those touchdowns, and he had the game-saving tackle on McCaleb Coffey, who got a 4th-and-1 quarterback sneak all the way down to the 6-yard line. Two plays later, McCaleb Coffey tears his he injures his leg. And if it wasn't for that tackle, Brian Station probably wins the game. He swung 24 points in a game that ended 21-16. That kid, with that athleticism on that field, I'm really interested to see if the University of Kentucky looks at him. I don't know about scholarship. I don't know what his quote-unquote Q rating is. That kid needs to be playing in Lexington the next 4 years. Howard Jackson, keep your ears on him. Congratulations to Frederick Douglass. A hard-earned victory to go to the state semis in 5A. Coach Charles over at LCA is getting it done, and I love to see it. LCA, the favorite in 2A this year. High school football in Lexington has never been healthier. I am so glad that Varsity Game Night and myself have been able to be a part of it. Thank you to everyone who makes that a possibility, and thank you for listening to our program. I'm going to take one quick break, and I've got to come back, and I'll give you my NFL picks for the day. Don't go anywhere. Come as you are. Here on Angelo Carriero, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.
Let's get it started in here. Angelo
Carriero back here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Let's get it started. I don't have a lot of time. Let's get through these NFL picks. New Orleans at Atlanta. I don't know what happened in the Falcons-Raiders game last week, but the Falcons absolutely demolished the Las Vegas Raiders. New Orleans is on a 9-game win streak, though, and I'm going to have to take New Orleans in this game. I think they're too multidimensional on offense. Detroit at Chicago, taking Chicago. Detroit's a dumpster fire, as always. Cleveland at Tennessee. I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be, I'll tell you what, for anybody that loves SEC football, the Nick Chubb versus Derrick Henry running back battle in this game is not only nostalgic, but those two guys are at the prime of their careers. If you want to watch a throwback to great running backs, watch that game. Bengals at Dolphins, at this point, Bengals, you should tank as hard as you can for Penei Sewell out of Oregon. That offensive tackle, he is exactly what the team needs. Tank for that kid. If you can't get him, get Kyle Pitts. Jaguars at Vikings. Jaguars are really frisky, always trying to win a game, and I don't know why, but I'll take the Vikings in that game. I do know why. I'm just being facetious, but I'll take the Vikings regardless. Las Vegas Raiders at the Jets. I'm sure the Raiders will come out with a chip on their shoulder. They play very physical. I think they'll rough up on the Jets. Colts at Texans. You know, I bet the Texans win, but I can't bring myself to do it, taking the Colts in that game. Rams at Cardinals. I know that Jared Goff had a pretty disastrous game against the 49ers and still almost eked out a win. They faced the Cardinals. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to take the Rams. Giants at Seahawks. I don't believe in Colt McCoy going to get done for the Giants. I'll take the Seahawks. Philadelphia at Green Bay. I'll just simply say go, Pat, go. Patriots at Chargers. I don't know why, but I'll take the Chargers in this game. I'm feeling it. I don't know why that is. I guess it's Justin Herbert. There's a reason there. Broncos at Chiefs. I'm taking the Chiefs. Washington at Pittsburgh on Monday at 5. Interesting. I'll take the Steelers in that matchup. Buffalo at San Francisco on Monday Night Football. I'll take the 49ers. Tampa Bay and Carolina on a bye week before we get to Tuesday. Cowboys at Ravens. Give me the Ravens, baby. Give me Lamar Jackson. Give me a little comeback for the Ravens. They really need that for themselves. And I'm going to say they do. I'm going to take the game against the boys. All right, speaking of them boys, I know Cowboys fans got to be upset at that prediction, so I'll play the Cowboys theme song on the way out. So thank you for listening. This has been Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. UK pregame at 4 p.m.